Good morning, Long Grove family. What's up?
Good morning.
Woo, that feels good. I'm excited to be back home. I've been here a few times, and I'm excited mainly because every time I come back, Pastor Dale and I have these candid conversations. Real conversations, like. And he said to me, because some of the things that you all have been a part of, and we are all a part of it, we've experienced here is that, you know, we've experienced loss here, challenging times that cause us to have now, as he put it, I think, you know, I could say it if it's okay, no filter. Now he's saying things a little bit more, again, candidly, straight to the point, not yelling, not being mean, but he has to say it because time is short. Life is happening, and we're all experiencing that. And I'm a little bit relentless myself. I call it being relentless. We're on that kick of being relentless, Isaiah 42 and 7. Been there for a while now. We celebrate 10 years of serving in reentry this year. I'm excited about that on June 6th. And just thank you. And youth development, violence prevention, being in the streets, and the people that we deal with, as the scripture says, he that wins souls is wise. He that winneth has to capture the soul, the mind. Don't have time to play, have to get straight to it, have to get in there, have to get your attention. Jesus was good at that. When he spoke, he got your attention. That's where we're at now. We have to be relentless, and that's where you all are at in 1 Corinthians. You've been there for what, since September? And no, it's a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing because it gets in us. We need it to be rehearsed. In particular, what the resurrection is to us, what it means. I've been studying on this guy named Paul and 1 Corinthians, and one of the things he said that really got me in the 32nd verse of 1 Corinthians 15, he said that he's fought with beasts. Not, it's kind of like an analogy or an example. It's not, some scholars believe it's not just actual beasts and monsters, but beasts, the system, pride, arrogance, idols, sexual immorality, all that was there in Corinth. And he says, I fought with beasts. But he says, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus as a mere man, what good did that do me if the dead are not raised? Let's all just eat, drink for tomorrow we die. Let's just get drunk and party. Made me think, why are we here? What are we doing? Are we just coming to punch our clock in? Are we having church this morning? We have to be raw and real and relentless because the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection makes us relentless. Not perfect. Not that we have it all together. Not that we've arrived. But we have to be relentless. Does that make sense? 1 Corinthians 15, I want to hang my hat here, CSB. Therefore is where it starts. Therefore. Now, if you're going to exegete a scripture, you don't start with therefore because it's not a hard start. Something happened prior to. So you all, I don't have to go over that. I may dig a little bit into it, but I don't have to go over that because you guys have been in Corinthians for a while now, so you guys know about the resurrection and what it means. So I'm just going to dig right in. My dear brothers and sisters, that's us. That's the church, he says, Paul says. Be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work. Because you know that your labor is not in vain. Amen? You all have been studying under a title, Church Worth Becoming. I'm glad he put becoming because we're not there yet. Trying to get there by faith. And I just want to use this subtitle, Resurrection Makes Us Relentless. Can you say that with me? Resurrection makes us. Y'all didn't wait for me. Just wait. Relentless. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people. recognizing that we really don't know how to preach, teach, or do anything. We are nothing. But yet you make us look so good because we get to share in your glory. Your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray that it would dig deep into us today. Speak through these lips of clay. I am nothing without you. Bring us clarity today. Open hearts, ears, and minds. Renew us. Challenge us. Cut deep. Encourage us. Build us up. Cause us to repent, to change our mentalities for you. And we'll be forever careful to give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, every heart said amen. Amen. Well, didn't know my wife was going to get into my message, but I'll dig deeper. Last 48 hours have been challenging. Individual who allegedly committed some crimes called me just a little while ago. Matter of fact, I just talked to him this morning. I'll get into that. And he was about to be a fugitive. The reason why he was going to be a fugitive is because he's been to prison ever since we were yay big. And so I've known him for so long, and that's the work that we do with Legacy Reentry Foundation, helping formerly incarcerated people. We help them with reentry and starting over again. So again, we have to be relentless. So I have to talk to him a different kind of way. So I'm speaking to him. You know, I have to be a little rough. I can't share everything I share with him, but or in the way I shared it, but I'm tired of you going back and forth in and out of jail. I understand you've been diagnosed as bipolar. I understand that you took meds in prison, and now when you got out, there's no meds. I understand that there has to be a transition. That's why we went down to Springfield recently to talk about the HB bills and things that can change and how we can deal with mental health and the resources that are needed. I understand all that, but we got to stop this, man. You talked about Jesus and God coming out. We don't want this to be jailhouse religion. What are you doing? See, because I'm not going back to prison. I knew what that meant. My wife knows what that means. He said, I'd rather die and be with my mother, which is my auntie. She's deceased. We knew what that meant. I'm not going back. They're going to have to kill me. I knew. I'm sitting there on Water Street, downtown Waukegan, right in front of Lake County Jail, and I'm sitting there on speakerphone. And I'm listening to him. I lost somebody. He's dead. I know it. If you run from these people, man, it's over with. Just go ahead and turn. So now I have to pray a prayer because half of me does not feel relentless. Half of me feels flesh. Like, are you kidding me? Like, again, 2026, it's over with. The cameras, they got you, man. Just, you're going to die or turn yourself in. Death or jail. Go to jail. I'd rather go to prison. But I know he's not going to do it. And then so I'm like, I lost somebody. But there's another side of me that's relentless that says because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I have to pray a prayer now that does not make sense. So I said, let me pray for you. And I prayed. I said, God will give you favor with the PO. He will give you favor with the parole officer. Turn yourself in. Really, I was just trying to keep him from killing himself. But I did feel that God would give him favor. But in my spirit, I felt that. But in my flesh, I didn't feel that way. And now this is where we have to be relentless because somebody watching online or somebody out there, you know you're in a situation. You probably can't show it. But sometimes we have to go against the grain of what we feel in our flesh and say, because God says so, because God is for us, who could be against us? I have to believe. So I'm praying this prayer. And like it was said earlier, he went, and he actually turned himself in. Wow. Amen. And he calls back, it was actually an hour later, and says, cuz, they dropped the alleged warrant, dropped the alleged charges, and I'm allegedly free. Somebody praise God for that. This is where we have to be. These are the kind of prayers. So I'm sorry. I'm fed up with church. I'm fed up with just coming here and punching in the clock. I'm fed up with just quoting scriptures, and then we go over the fact that there's a resurrection. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. I'm tired of that. Aren't you tired of that? Don't you want the power of God to help me get through this? Somebody is dealing with cancer. Somebody is dealing with a wayward child. Don't you want the power of God to help you get through that? Resurrection makes us relentless. So I'm talking about this guy named Paul, as you guys have been talking about, the Apostle Paul. We're going to get into scripture, and we're going to dig into this with the little time that I have. And oh my God, it's so good. When I dug into this, I realized that the Apostle Paul, he was going against the grain, against opposition that you couldn't imagine. Imagine how he wrote. I like to get in the context of the scripture and put you in the picture. I'm a storyteller. I want you to get it. So here he is in a scenario where he writes something that nobody has written before. What do I mean by that? Historically, I'm going to say something that somebody in here probably has not heard before. You're used to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospels, right? The Apostle Paul was the first to pen anything about the resurrection. So he would be the first, technically, scholars say, to introduce the gospel. Yes, they were telling stories at that time. It was verbally being shared about Jesus, but none of them had the gall to write it down except Paul. So here's a guy that says he's an apostle, but you never walked with the apostles. Here's a guy that says you had a vision of Jesus, but you never touched him. Here's a guy that has to get up now and tell us about how we're supposed to walk. You're giving us decrees and declarations, all this stuff that we got to do now. You're an apostle in the church, and you used to persecute the church. Listen, in Galatians, you can see how the Apostle Paul had to separate himself because to go to Arabia because the apostles didn't believe him. Imagine the opposition. So when you're looking at this, when we're researching the scripture, when we're researching the text, this is a relentlessness. It's you got to understand the times. Even his own people didn't get him. That's why sometimes you got to be, I don't want to say crazy, but you got to be out the box to come against what's against you. Some people are facing some real opposition in here right now, and you don't have time for a nice, cute scripture text. You need revelation. How do I overcome this? Resurrection makes us relentless. Okay, let's get to it. I want us to drown ourselves into the text for a minute and imagine the ops of what we call opposition to this idea of resurrection that makes us so relentless. At the time of Paul's writing this letter, people inside the sacred institution called the church, that's us, people that look just like you and me, are now saying the dead don't rise and that there's no resurrection. How could that be? You've been going to church for so long. We know this because Paul says, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? How? I'm perplexed. So it wasn't atheism or a belief that there is no God. This was heavily influenced by Greek thinking, pagan Roman culture, in a city obsessed with pleasure, status, philosophy, politics, power, man, that sounds like America. Anyway, public pressure against Christians, confusion inside the church itself. Imagine the opposition that this man was facing. So you can understand the words that are coming off the page. Context is king. So imagine Pastor Dale going on a mission trip for a season, only to come back, and God forbid, finding Long Grove Community Church wrapped in division, sexual sin, lawsuits, confusion about marriage, abuse of communion, disorder in worship, and false teaching. Imagine that. That couldn't happen here, right? That's essentially where we find ourselves in the summary of today's text. Just to go further with this crazy example, Apostle Dale is now pleading with Long Grove Community Church, people that know him and his family, to recognize that if the resurrection fails, Christianity itself collapses. Let me say that again. Christianity itself collapses. This idea of the resurrection fails. This should be, it really should be elementary stuff to all of us. But however, because of his own personal resurrection experience, Paul, Apostle Dale, Paul, he has to be relentless, or what I would call stubborn. I know some of you men in here understand what it's like to be stubborn. No, not me. We have a GPS system, we're driving. It's recalculating again. This is real life experience. I'm gonna really be transparent in this message, a lot of my flaws. And so the wife says, husband, you know, we kind of missed the turn, did we? Because we kind of, oh, I got it. Especially after an argument, you know, like, no, I'm good, I got it. 30 minutes later, but while you're laughing at me, that same tenacity, that same stubbornness, been there? That same stubbornness is what God wants us to use, and you're going to see in the text, to be relentless. Essentially means to go against the grain. I'm going to be different in today's culture and society. I have to be. Paul summed me in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast. Let's walk through this. Steadfast. What does it mean to be steadfast? Steadfast means to be sit firm, or to sit firmly. Apostle Dale talked, I'll call you apostle now if that's okay. He talked recently about being anchored, to be grounded, not drifting, not collapsing under pressure. I'm going to be so transparent because I failed all that. We're celebrating 10 years and people say, man, how did you do it? All the success and this and that. And they don't understand all the times I've given up. Doesn't God know how to cover us? Makes us look so good because it's all him. And it's for his glory. But for an example, I want you to use people who really face opposition. Jesus opposed religious systems like this one. Oh, I'm going to mess you up this morning. Einstein challenged Newtonian assumptions. Galileo opposed scientific consensus. Harriet Tubman resisted illegal systems. And here we find Apostle Paul opposing cultural pressure or going against the grain. These are people, you know, I have something with people that commit crimes. I don't condone your crime. I don't condone what you've done. But it's something about the relentlessness and the stupidity it took to do it. Maybe Christians should be more stupid. As Pastor Santiago says, kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Maybe we should keep it simple. Some stuff we make it big, we make it bigger than it is, we make it so deep. And yet you find an unbeliever who's able to go over challenges, do things that we couldn't possibly do because we're lazy, because we just love coming to church on Sunday. It's all about me. It's just the resurrection of Jesus. God says, get on fire for me. Get vibrant. Get something in you to go through this thing. Because I'm doing it with you. Immovable means to be not easily shifted. We live, here's why I come into my transparent moment. We live in a give up culture. My grandmother and granddaddy, back when I was, you know, I'm used to, from down south, the hospitality people get married and being, you know, together for eons and wanting to halfway kill each other, having 3,000 kids, 10 kids, and living in two different rooms and still together. Never divorcing. I'm used, but now we live in a culture where if you don't like it, I'm done with it. It's the technology and what we see and the screenshots and And the doom scrolling has allowed us, it puts us in a place where if I don't like something, I'm done with it. So if I don't like this church, I'm moving on. If I don't like that, I'm moving on. I don't like this marriage, I'm moving on. And I've done that so many times because I've been what you call a runaway. My wife told me, you are a runner. Let me tell you why I was a runner. Because my mother, I love to communicate. I'm a communicator. I like to talk about it. I want a reason. But my mom didn't want to do that. She said, because I said so. I said, no, mom, why did she? Nothing to talk about. I said it, that's it. But mom, that don't make sense. You told me that. No, it's not that. And so guess what? When I was living in California, I ran away from home. All I did was run away from home. Kept running away. And as you get older, into your 50s and get older, guess what? I'm still running. My wife told me, you're a runner. How do I know? Because not physically, I'm still with you. But if I don't like you, you hurt me again. I don't want to be hurt again. So I'll be here. I'll smile with you. But I'm not even in the room with you. I'll shake your hand. I'm with you, but I'm gone. I left a long time ago. I bet you there's some people in here like that today. You're in a marriage, but you left a long time ago. You're in the church, but you left a long time. We see you, but you're not here. We see the children. You know the stubborn children. I'll do what you say, but in their mind, they're stabbing you 1,000 times. That was me, a runner. And guess what? That's one of the things I'm still challenged with because I don't want to be hurt. And after I say something to you 10 times, 30 times, and you hurt me again, I will still shake your hand and have dinner with you, but I don't know you. I'm gone to protect myself. There's somebody else in here. I'm ministering to somebody. There's somebody else in here like that right now. And God is saying, stick with it. Don't leave. But this culture of assimilation, where we assimilate to what's happening now, where everybody's running. If I don't like it, I'm gone. There are a lot of people who are here and not here. And that's what this text is getting us into. The writer, possibly Paul, warns Hebrew believers. Book of Hebrews 10:39. But there's that conjunction, but we won't go back. We are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. I will put in context. He's talking to Hebrews, Hebrew believers. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to people that are supposed to be the church. They're facing extreme persecution at this time. And he's telling them, don't give up. He's giving examples of Israel and what happened to Israel in the fourth chapter. When you give up. When you go backwards, when you don't rely on the rock, he's going all throughout scripture and telling them, don't go back. Don't give up. We are not. And he says this to some people who have already given up. And he says to them, we are not of them who draw back, King James Version says, into perdition, which means destruction. We're not of those who go back, which means if you go back, it's going to be worse for you, saying this to my cousin. If you go back, it's going to be worse. I said this to him, and I got to say it to you. Maybe this is a revelation for you. It helped me a lot. It's better to be in the desert with God. It's better, when I had to turn myself into prison 30 years ago, it's better to say, you know what, I'm going in saved. And it was. I had favor. But if I hadn't went in saved, I don't know what would happen. But thought said, you know what, you got to run. Somebody's going through something right now and they say, I don't like that report. I don't want to deal with this. It's better to go in with God than without him. You got God on your side. Of God before you, who, what can be against you? Nay, in all things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are fully persuaded. Resurrection makes us relentless. Always excelling in the Lord's work. That's kind of deep to me when we say, hey, I'm doing the work for God. What do you mean by that? We're all working for God to some degree. What do you even mean by that? What impact are you having? And it's not even about you. What impact is God having on the people that we have interaction with, and the people, or on the people that we engage? Is this thing working? Young man, I was at our building yesterday, and I had left because, you know, I was studying here. The dog was messing with me, so I wanted to go there, to be, you know, to get away from the dog, so I'm at the building. And then I leave because I want to go to the park. It was nice outside. So I said, let me go over the message again here. And then I get this call. Several people would come on a Saturday. I'm like, what is going on? Why are people coming? We're closed. And then I could see through the Ring camera, one guy is just up, a tooth missing, everything's just off. And he's just like, and he's shaking. And I can tell there's an addiction there. I can see the signs. And he's like, I just need some clothes. I need. And then so we had to deal with him. And then, but this particular, there's a young man that came back. And then he says, he's 17 years old. And I mean, he had to be 17, 18, young. And his hair's all over the place, but he's young. And he said, I'm homeless. He's talking to me through the Ring camera. I'm remotely away from him. So I'm like, well, we're closed. I'm over here at the park. Can't get to you. He's like, I need some clothes, man. You got some toothpaste. And if I could take a shower. And I'm like, maybe you can go to Pat's. You know, Pat's for the homeless. Man, I just, all right. I'm 10 minutes away. I'll be right there. With North Chicago, walking. Boom. I get there. Long story short, he's not there. I was on my way too. I'm like, I'm gonna punch my car. I'm doing something for Jesus. I'm doing something for the Lord. Maybe I'll be able to tell somebody about it. He was gone. And then here I go. I go down the street. There's a woman walking down the street. I know it was a woman. She had a hood on. So I pull up. I said, that looks like the guy I was talking to on the Ring camera. So I pull on the side and say, hey, you know, did you just talk to me on the Ring camera? And she's like, she turns around like, excuse me? And this is by Waukegan Library, and everybody's outside now, so I look like a creep right now. Okay, so I do a total, this happened because I'm a little bit off myself. I'm embarrassed, so I do a U-turn in the middle of the street just to get out away from everybody. I'm like, I'm out of here. I look really creepy right now. She's like, so I go back to Legacy, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, my day is now. I don't know, God. I'm trying to study your word. I put the word before people. Ooh. I wanted to get this message so fiery and so powerful and have all the text and have it so that I could deliver it. And there's homeless people out here. There's people hurting. And I put this, I was so concerned with the delivery and how I was going to preach and seeing somebody saved and somebody healed when people are right in my face. Thank God. 1 hour later, still sitting there, he walks up. My windows are down. He sees, because he recognized, well, I don't know how he knew it was me. I guess he figured it's the only guy sitting here. You waited for me. I said, wow. Now, I didn't actually wait for him. I was just sitting there embarrassed, but God makes us look good. So I said, come on, let's go inside. And we get him the toothpaste and everything and all the stuff he needs. Only reason I'm telling you for the sake of the message, otherwise I wouldn't say it. And so he's getting all that he needs. And then I begin to realize why I'm here and why I'm going to share with you. This is what it means to excel in the Lord's work. When we finally realize that the resurrection wasn't just meant to make us relentless or be just for us. Let me say that again in case you didn't get it. It's not meant for us to be relentless. It's meant for us to be relentless for them. Do you understand that? So when Jewish leaders became hostile and rejected Paul's message of resurrection in Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas boldly replied, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life, we are turning to the Gentiles. Gentiles are outsiders, spiritually dirty, pagans, morally polluted, separated from God. Paul is going after them. That's what this is about. The resurrection power. Why do I want to live holy? Why do I want to live sanctified? Not so I could just be floating in the air and have a halo. It's not so I could just go to heaven. It's for them so we can be anointed and heal somebody else's heart. It's not for me. It's not for us. It's for them. Here's the catch. It was God's will before Paul ever decided to go in that direction. Proof text, Acts 12:21. Then he said to me, talking about God. God says this to Paul. He's preaching to a whole bunch of people that are opposing him. And he says, go, this is what God said to me, because I will send you far away to the Gentiles. He said this before he started the ministry, even pushed his hand up against them and said, I don't want to be with you guys. Acts 22:22. This is how they responded. This is how the church responded. They listened to him up to this point. Then they raised their voices shouting, wipe this man off the earth. He should not be allowed to live. There's opposition to people that look like me. There's opposition to people that look like you. I'm not talking about physical appearance. I'm talking about spirit. Going against the grain. There's a whole culture out here that doesn't believe all this stuff that we're doing right now. So we can't go out there with the niceties and like the Jehovah's Witnesses used to do back in the day and knock on the door and say, hey, listen, this is what Jehovah's... No, you got to come in here with some power. This is my life example. This is what I had a heart attack. They put a pacemaker in me. Let me explain to you. I've been incarcerated. Let me tell you what God brought me out of a horrible pit, a miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock. He can do the same for you. That's what they need. That's why the young people are looking at me like, yeah, yeah, because the fire, I need fire. I don't want to listen. They're going to college now. They're getting it. When they come in here, they need fire from you, not just from up here. The person sitting next to them is clapping. The person I'm going through right now, I do not feel like being here. Just went through some stuff. Things are bad. But guess what? For you, this is the religious spirit that you and I are up against. This tells me the resurrection makes us relentless, not just so that we can go to heaven, but so that we can repent, change our mentalities towards those who are on their way to hell. Let me stop here. Because you know, I have to end here, that your labor is not in vain. Underscore the word or phrase, because you know. That word no means certainty, or because you are certain, because this truth is settled in your mind. It's a mental health month. We talk a lot about mental health. I'm a mental health advocate. My wife is as well. And we believe that God renews the mind, and he is, the Bible is Bible teaches mental health prior to the world coming into this understanding of what it is. Paul preached, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, let this mentality live on the inside of you. What mentality? Glad you asked. Let me just give you this one last nugget. Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl once said, people can survive enormous pain if they believe their suffering has meaning. I want to know that I'm here. I'm not just going to church. I need a fire. The Bible says in Leviticus, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. There has to be a fire. You can't talk to me about something you have not experienced. Did you go through cancer? Did you lose a child? Give me something. Give me an experience so that I can go through what I'm going through. This is the relentlessness that God is asking for. Basically, the world is just now catching up to what the Bible has already taught us for centuries. Proverbs 18:14, a person's spirit can endure sickness, but who can survive a broken spirit? Family, we're not called to reconcile broken people, but the resurrection power of God in us should make us relentless in mending broken spirits. Did you get that? In mending broken spirits. There's a broken spirit right next to you today. You may have a broken spirit, but you're still here, but you're not here. My cousin, that's who he is, who went through this whole scenario, he's broken mentally. Physically, he's good. Got a job just that quick. I am called to him. I'm called to the guy that showed up at Legacy yesterday. A couple guys inconvenienced me. I'm called to you. I may not feel good in my body right now, but I'm called to get up here with the power of God and anointing and say, listen, with fervency, look what God has done for me. He can do the same thing for you. What is that? Not that I've arrived, not that I'm perfect. I'm still going through, but I didn't give up to that degree. I didn't kill myself. I'm still here. Can you imagine that? And I just want to applaud right now all the souls who have gone through hell on earth and you're still here. And let me say this, do you think you did that? It is, and it was, the resurrection power of God that made you relentless. I have one thing to ask before I leave here. Please know that all this teaching, good teaching, I've been going over the messages, all this word, it's gotta be for more than just us. I may need to call somebody today that doesn't go to this church. I may need to say hello to my neighbor who I don't normally talk to. I may need to walk somebody's dog. No, I'm just playing. You guys get the point, all right? So I'm done. But I really, truly believe from my heart, resurrection makes us relentless for them. Amen. Thank you.